We were right into John chapter 9. And let me tell you, we're looking at a man who was born from being blind at birth. He had actually been through a lot in his life. And then a man named Jesus comes along. A man named Jesus, who, when Jesus was with his disciples, they walked along and they were at the temple area. And his disciples said, "Hey, look at this blind man. Lord, do you think he was in sin? Is that why he was blind? Or what, did his parents sin?" You know? And actually, Jesus had said, no, that the works may be done in him, that my Father may be glorified. And so, we see God working in our lives today, all the time. Every day something happens, and, you know, no 2 days are the same. And so, just as the weather changes for the better, you know, God can change things for the better in our lives. And I hope that's the way it's been. I hope and pray for the best for everybody today, here and online, that, you know, your plans may prosper, and that God can bless you and your families and your loved ones, and that you could see Christ working in your midst, the hope of our glory. Interesting enough, we're going through Hebrews right now in Sunday school, Hebrews chapter 11. And we look at the word faith, to believe. And this blind man, I am very sure that he was thinking each day he had to get up, go to his spot, wherever he begged for, listen for the coins to drop, listen to what people had to say. But I believe that there was a light in him that God had given him that would just break through that darkness. Of course, I'm getting an example like that, and I'm saying that when Jesus came, that light broke through. And Jesus said that, "I am the light of the world." He told his disciples that. And today we are lights in this dark world. We can be lights of encouragement, lights as helpers, lights as just sharing the gospel of Christ in this dark world. So Jesus was, as he was, who he said he was. So you have the situation where Jesus is there. And I'm getting to the point of my message here this morning. He was there. He told the blind guy, "Go down to Siloam. And go down there," and, you know, after he put some spittle in some mud and he, you know, put that over his eyes, he says, "Now, once you go down there, now I want you to wash it off." Well, this is the time of Sabbath. So already they thought, the enemy, the Pharisees thought, well, Jesus is a sinner. He's like anybody else. He's not good enough like we are. Talked about that in Sunday school, how, why even today some quote-unquote religions think that they're all better because of works salvation. I'm pretty sure the Pharisees were thinking years and years ago, and I wasn't there, but this is speculation. I think it's a good speculation. They thought, well, you know, the Word of God, Moses' law is not good enough. Abraham's ways aren't good enough. We want to add on to it. So they did. They used to swear upon the temple, and they used to swear upon the gold in the temple, and so on and so forth. They made up so many ridiculous rules, and that's why I, as a person years ago, stopped going to church. They had so many rules and regulations, there was no grace there in my eyes. So until God saved me, and I realized I was saved by faith, this beggar, this blind man, realized that he was saved by faith. He went down to the pool of Siloam, washed his eyes, came back, he could see. People stood there and they were like, neighbors like, "Oh, I don't know if he's the same person. Do you?" "No, he doesn't look like the same person. Is this his clothes? Is this the way he looks? You know, what's different about him?" You know, people have a tendency to pick other people apart, and it's very sad. And they put all the pieces back together, and this is a different person. Instead of loving that person, accepting that person, which a lot of them didn't. And some people said, you know, he is the same person, but he's different. And then sure enough, the Pharisees came along. And remember, Christ had already gone at this time. So you had the neighbors who were doing the picking. And then, of course, you had the Pharisees come along. And oh boy, they did not like what they saw. You would think, and put yourself in a place of the blind man. Oh my goodness, I can see in this great. Well, isn't that the way it was when we first got saved? Yes, some people are like, oh no, you need religion. Boy, let me tell you, you're such a bad person. I remember you. They did the same thing to this blind person. This blind person is like, hey, wait a minute. I can see. What's wrong with that? And of course, they criticized him more and more. And they were trying to break him. They were trying to break him inside. It didn't work. In fact, the more they tried to break him, the stronger he became. And he says, hey, if this is somebody from God, shouldn't you listen? And they got even more angry. They're like, how dare you say that? You know, you're trying to tell us what we should know? But you know, people are people wherever you go. And so we see here then that, of course, the next step was the parents. The Pharisees were like, okay, we've had enough. We're going to take this guy to court. And first of all, the parents find out. It's like, oh, you can see, really? This is great. Oh, yeah, that's her son there. And they're like, okay, well, wait a minute. We got to be careful because we're in court. And oh, boy, we found out. And this is just a make-believe situation. We're thinking, well, so-and-so was put out because of they said something against the priests, the Pharisees. And they were kicked out of the synagogue, which you never wanted to do that in the first place. But it's a hypothetical situation. So here the parents were, and they were like, you know what, we better be careful. I can see the husband and wife, but I'm giving you some background here. I'm going to get some points here in a minute. We better be careful because, oh boy, you know, we better sit down and talk about this. So I'm sure they sat down as parents and they're like, what do we do about our son? Well, you know, we love him, but we don't want to be kicked out of the synagogue either. Have we ever run into situations where people have actually turned on their children? Well, you know, I heard this in the news the other day, but they took a survey. Some people love their pets more than their own children. I was just like, you're kidding me. You got to be careful about these surveys and all. So the parents are like, no, we love our child, but instead of sticking up for him, going through the consequences, they were like, you know what? We don't want to get kicked out of the synagogue. He's old enough. He's old enough. Our baby boy can take care of himself. And I'm sure they were sitting there and they were like, okay. And he told the Pharisees, you know what? Let him speak for himself. We want to have, you know, pretty much that's it. So now the man has been ostracized pretty much from his family. He's been ostracized with his synagogue, as we will see. And also he's ostracized with his neighbors. He was pretty much all by himself. Hello, isn't that life today? Isn't that the way it is? Where it's just between us and God. When the chips are down, as the world would say, when the cards are laid out on the table. But Jesus, and this is where I'm focusing in on the Lord never gave up on him. They were looking at all the physical aspects. As we look by in John, the main theme is that these things have been written that you may believe, have faith. It was all about faith. It was the spiritual part. And that's the problem with our world today. That's okay. You can cough all you want. That's okay. That's all right. God bless you. And I know you're not doing it on purpose or send you out of the room. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, this poor guy, he was just like, okay, what have I got left? And sometimes that's where God wants us to be. What have I got left, Lord? What have I got left? You have him. And sometimes God puts us in situations. That's all we have left. And I'd rather have Jesus than anything. It's like my friend Clary. All he has is Jesus. He knows he's dying. This is all the doctors can do except to prolong it. All I've got is Jesus. He's called the Jesus man at the hospital. And he, oh, you want to talk about life and death? They can't shut him up. He was telling me, you know, he loves the Lord. And there's a reason why he's there for this appointed time, for such a day as this. That's why he was there. God wasn't looking at the extremities. He was looking at the person that he loved so much that he died for. So, that was his, the blind man's testimony so far. He was innocent. You know, as far as he knew up to this point, to verse 34, he called him a prophet. You know, nobody can do things like this unless he was from God. And he goes, well, you know, don't you want to be one of his disciples too? And of course, the Pharisees just went, oh, somebody who's full of pride and full of themselves, they don't have time for anybody but themselves. And because of that, okay, look, he's got to be a prophet. Why don't you be one of his disciples too? You know, why not follow God? What he was trying to say, why aren't you following God? Today we have a lot of people who just don't follow God because they're into idols themselves, and whatever you got in this world, and whatever your flesh is pulling with, and you're going right along with it, or you're going with the unseen, you know, our unseen enemy, the devil. So we're going to be looking here at eight areas here. One is looking at spiritual sight. This man, this only man, had spiritual sight. Isn't it wonderful to have an insight on something? Isn't it nice to know about things before they come up, and therefore in your mind you can understand what's right and what's wrong, and you can be the judge of that yourselves? You understand. So, verse 35. At this time already, he was cast out of the synagogue. In other words, he couldn't work pretty much. He couldn't buy nor sell. Pretty much he had to leave. And he had to start all over again. On the other hand, you had some Pharisees, some, you know, what they believed is that they believed in what they wanted to believe. And they had an unteachable spirit. Unteachable spirit. It's sad when, I would say, if I ever got to the point where I thought I knew everything. No, Jesus is teaching me something new every day. God help every one of us, and I'm saying this out of love as your pastor, to keep from that sin. We always have to learn something. And be very careful, like I said 3 to 4 weeks ago, about Bible studies and what you learn online and what you hear from other teachers. Be careful. Remember, it's not teacher. It's us individually are going to have to stand before God one day and say, Lord, I got it. I'm listening. I got both ears wide open, eyes wide open. Okay, tell me. Okay, and he's already doing that today. He's teaching us today from his word. Apart from the word, it doesn't matter because it's the word that matters in our lives. And that's why we're here today, to hear the proclaiming, the preaching of the word. So here he was, these religious leaders and neighbors and other people and the parents, they didn't want to hear what God had to say. They wanted to hear what they wanted to say. So this man's all by himself. Sounds familiar to some of us in life situation. Verse 35 says, and Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Now he heard, remember, God is always there for us. And there's a situation here where Jesus is there and he listens to us every day. And when he had found him, he said to him, Do you believe in the Son of God? Isn't it interesting that Jesus finds us? Even before we were saved, Jesus found us and we responded to God's call by faith. By faith. And we go on every day by God's call to us by faith. And we still go on by faith. Every day we get up. Every day we go to bed at night. And for those who can't sleep at night, He's always there by faith. We believe He's there. And He's a loving God. He cares. He understood what it was there, what he had to go through with his neighbors and everybody, his parents and the Pharisees and the people who just didn't want to believe him. Basically, they called him a liar. You know, we don't even know who you are or what you're saying for the most part. They didn't want to take the time to get to know him or this Jesus. Psalms 34, verses 9 through 10. Says here, David writes, "Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." Even David cried out when he realized that he sinned against the Lord. But he was a man after God's own heart. He realized that he sinned and he cried out to God, "God, be merciful to me." Remember Psalms 51. You know, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So this man still had not given up. His faith was not destroyed. Jesus understands. He knows when people have been hurt. And I can just only imagine what he was thinking at this time. But Jesus shows up. Shows up at the right time. Also, we see it. So number one requires divine initiative. And then number two, a response of faith in verse 36. And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe him?" Who is he that I may believe him? You know, when we look at the man Jesus, And I wrote down a few things here. He says, number one, you can know that he was homeless. Who is he, Lord, that I may get to know him? When you study Jesus' life, you understand that he went through everything that we went through, but even more. I'm thinking about how humble can a person be? Only Jesus. How can a person ever go through what he did? Only Jesus. He was betrayed, he was slandered, he was assaulted, he was falsely accused. He wept, he rejoiced, he suffered, he fought, he loved, he triumphed. In other words, he fought. In other words, he fought for you and I. This God-man, Jesus. And then moving along here, we see that in John chapter 1 in verses 22 and 23 states here that in John chapter 1, 12 and 13, excuse me, it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." This man was going to respond in faith because of the will of God. We're here today because of the will of God. There were those that are spiritually blind, but then those who are there that can spiritually see. So we thank God for that. We see here, thirdly, in verses 37 and 38, he recognizes Christ. After all this, there was so much we talked about this past two Sundays. Verses 37 and 38 says, "And Jesus said to him, 'You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you.'" Isn't that amazing? At that time, there was that spiritual opening. Before, it was a physical sight. Now, it's a spiritual sight. He could see. Isn't it amazing? Amazing grace. Isn't it amazing that God saved us, such as sinners, such as we? And he says, and Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and is he who is talking with you, and he said, Lord, I believe. He believed at that point. He recognized who he was. And we see Jesus today in our lives every day. John chapter 6 and verses 35 through 38. John 6, 35 through 38 says here, when I get there, it says here, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All the Father gives me will I have, all the Father that has gives me, excuse me, will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will no means cast out. This man was cast out of society. I can only imagine what it would be like in society to be a castaway, to be cast out. It has the idea in some ideas is that in scripture is being shipwrecked. Okay, you no longer can be used as being shipwrecked. It means you're stranded somewhere in your sin. But this has the idea of being cast out. It has the idea of you're no longer permitted to be part of society. Jesus says you will not be cast out. You will be brought into a new family, a chosen family of God from me, because you responded by faith when I called upon you, and you were saved from your sins. A lot of people today, as we know, don't want to respond. They're so much in darkness that they don't want to hear it. It was when Jesus says that I am the bread of life. He's referring here to that his body would one day hang on the cross for our sins. And his blood would be shed for our sins. He says, I am the bread of life. And so people couldn't equate the two. You know, bread was one of the main staples of their diet back in the day. They couldn't understand it. Well, yeah, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for food, but spiritually, no, I'm not. And people today need to know the Lord. He is the open door. He is the bread of life. Then we see going back here, the fourth part found in verse 38. And then he says, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Worshiped him. In verse 38. In Philippians 2:10. Philippians 2:10, as I turn there. It says here that, and that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and those in heaven, and those on earth, and those under earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, those who are on the earth will one day bow and worship him. Those who are under the earth, I believe that is a place where hell is. And, you know, somebody said to me, how can you prove that? I can't. But I believe that there is a place where God has put people, whether those people who have rejected him, that is a place called hell, because they don't want to have God in their life. And one day they'll wake up and it'll be too late, because every desire, every need, every want that they have in life can never be fulfilled. It will still be there, but they can't fulfill it in a body like we have today. You'll be hungry and you can't eat food. You'll have a spiritual body, but it will be consumed in flame and torment. And so there will be people there that will even have to worship and say, yes, he is Lord. There will be people in the kingdom one day will worship him and say, yes, he is Lord. There are people today that we worship him today and worship him as Lord overall. But there are people today that don't want him, that don't want to worship him as Lord. Again, this is in the spiritual realm. This is not talking about necessarily in the physical realm today. Jesus is saying, I want to save your soul. And this man's soul was saved. And what does it say in the Word of God too? That over one person that repents, the angels in heaven rejoice. You know, we don't see exactly in the dimension, in God's dimension in heaven. We don't understand. We can't see angels. But the Bible tells us, and we believe it, because we believe by faith. So we say, yes, I believe it. Even though people say, well, prove it. How do you know? All they're looking for is an excuse, a lot of times, to deny God's word. Like Thomas, who saying, Lord, okay, let me see if this is really you by faith. And he says, and Jesus says, put your hand into my side. And of course, what did Thomas do later on? The end of John, he fell down and he worshiped Christ. This man worshiped God. After all that he's been through, you know, we look at this man who is blind, who can see now, and spiritually he can see now. Going back here to John, in John chapter 9, and so, John chapter 9. So, we look at the spiritual sight, and then of course, then we look at the spiritual blindness. You know, you would think, even after all this, but no, Jesus is a sinner, remember? And remember, this man's a sinner. And remember that we had the last say. They always have to be careful. When you get around people who always had the last say. I don't like that, you know, personally. I like the Lord to have the last say. And I like to be able to have a conversation with people in love. You know, sometimes you have the know-it-alls. But Jesus knows it all in love. He understands. So we see here in verse 39. Spiritual blindness, number one, it receives judgment. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who may see may be made blind. It's kind of interesting. You think, what in the world does he mean by that? He's talking about spiritual blindness. Now we go back to Exodus chapter 4. Verses 21 through 23, Pharaoh had the same problem. His heart was hardened. It was hardened because he would not let God's people go. And he knew from the firstborn that God's saying, look, if you don't let my people go, the firstborn in all the kingdom will die in your kingdom. And so, verse 21 says this, verse 23, and Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Some people stop there and say, oh, God hardens people's hearts. The critics and the mean ones out there that hate God are saying, see, God's a bad God. No, they only read half of it. And then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. I say to you, let my son go, that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed I will kill your son, your firstborn. In other words, what happened was, is that the more Pharaoh hardened his heart willfully, God hardened it. And so that's what happens when people willfully harden their heart against God. God's saying, okay, if you want it like this, then I will make it harder and harden. And so, you know, the rest of the story there, that, you know, the blood had to be put on the doorpost. The blood, remember, that goes way back to the Garden of Eden, sacrificing two animals, as skins put on Adam and Eve because of their sin. And as we come right here too, that it would had to be taken from an innocent animal, like our innocent Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice, the blood, and the blood was put on the doorpost so that when the death angel came by, their firstborn would not be killed. But there was always a warning with God. There is always a warning through creation, through conscience, or through his word, like it says in Romans chapter 1. So mankind is what? Without excuse. There are no excuses because God has manifested himself. And we see also, too, that second, they reject to admit who he was. In verse 40, going back to John chapter 9, and some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" Sometimes I've looked at that verse and I'm thinking, are they just mocking God? And I think it was a two-sided trick question. I think it was a trick question. And they were trying to set the Lord up. And they were trying to find something wrong with him. My beloved, don't be intimidated by other people. You know when there is a dark side to the conversation and when they start blocking out the truth, it's time to say, you know what, we're done. We're done. Pray for spiritual insight as you talk to people. Because there are people out there that look for a reason, for an excuse to walk away from God. We see here in John chapter 7, makes it very plain, very frank, that we are cursed by the law, but Christ came to fulfill the law. In John chapter 7, verses 45 through 49 says, "Then the officers came to the chief priests and the Pharisees and said to them, 'Why have you not brought him?' The officers answered, 'No man has ever spoken like this man.' Then the Pharisees answered them, 'Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? But the crowd that does not know the law is accursed.'" So, you know, Christ was made a curse for us on the tree, like it says in Galatians. And he hung on that cross for us because he was made the curse for us, the sins of the world. And thank God for that. You know, the very simplistic things that we've known for years, we never take for granted. Amen. We should never do that. And when we do, sometimes we should probably go right back to the Word and ask for forgiveness. And Lord, teach me again the very basics of the Bible because I need that. I need that first love in my life. So then thirdly, we see too, going back to John chapter 9, that in, verse 41 rejects the spiritual sight. In verse 41 it says, "And Jesus said to them, 'If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see.'" So they were trying to reverse, calling the truth a lie and the lie the truth. And you got that today because people have no place to turn, no place to run to. So they're going to say, you know what? The truth is a lie and the lie is the truth because I had no place to run else to. I had no place to hide. And, you know, oh no, I've got to do everything I can. They won't tell you that they're rejecting God, but they will try any devious place they can go to. First John, in chapter 1, and verses 8 through 10 says this, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So if there's any sin, we need to get that before the cross. Or if we are confused by the great deceiver, we need to get unconfused and say, "Lord, please help me to know the way, the truth, and the life. And make it very plain to me, as much as, you know, what I can see, a different color, one from another. Show me what am I doing wrong?" There is no in-between with God. Someone said, well, you know, the book of Proverbs is a very good book to study. It's a lot about wisdom issues. Wisdom issues. That's why we're studying on Wednesday nights. And sometimes there are gray areas in our life that we have to know what's the wisest choice, God's choice. There's worldly wisdom, James chapter 3, and there's godly wisdom in James chapter 3. So we have to know to make the right choices. Make the right choices. So there is a rejection of spiritual sight. And we see, last but not least, there is results in doom. Results in doom because of spiritual blindness. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, he shall also reap. And so it says here, Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. It remains for those who reject God over and over and over again, and they come to the point where they actually enjoy living their lives living in sin. And as one person put it over the years ago, they said they love living at the bottom of the barrel. You know, the expression, you know, a person's at the bottom or the end of themselves. But they enjoy it. You know, sin always looks attractive, always looks good. It appeals to the flesh. The world appeals to the flesh. The devil appeals to the flesh. But let us not be deceived. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 21 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and all unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, were thankful, and became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That's where they were at. And there are some people today, that is where they're at. We should never give up on them. God has never given up on us. He loves us, cares about us. And, you know, I often pity people like that. Not that I'm anything, because it's by grace that I'm saved. I'm no better than they are. But I look at what God's doing, and I'm very thankful that God reached down to this blind man, this man who was blind, who knew no better. He was dying in his sins, and then one day Jesus comes by with his disciples. And Jesus explains to his disciples, it's not because this man has sinned or his parents have sinned. It's that the works of God may be manifest in him. Now, here it is, fast forward, days later, and Jesus meets him again. And this time, he opens his eyes. Already, of course, as we know, his eyes were open physically. But now he understands. He's saying, Lord, show me him. And Jesus has shown us today that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's by faith. We believe it. Every day, as we go throughout our week, I will guarantee you, every day, each one of us that know Jesus as our Savior will look at this and will say, you know, it's by faith I believe. Physically, yes, we are reaping what we sow because of sin, but spiritually, I pray today that we're growing spiritually in him. I want to encourage everybody here, too, that there are people that are blind, have a blind sight when it comes to sin. Other people spiritually see, and they can understand because of the Holy Spirit. Big difference. Big difference. And some people, like I used an illustration many years ago, it's like a merry-go-round. We used to take our kids on the merry-go-rounds, circuses and all, and go out to the fairs. Great times, wonderful times. But some people, they get on that little horse, and they just keep on going around. They never get off. They never get off. They think the carnival, the word worldly comes to where we get a word carnival from. And the worldliness. People have such a good time with all the music and all the fun, but they never get off of that. They're saying, hey, over here, I got something better. No, we're having a good time. This guy understood what it was all about. He was still probably a cast out, but he knew Christ, and that was more important. I pray that everybody here will understand that today and can share that for somebody today. The good news of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word that's endless, timeless, and thank you for its truth. It's all truth, and there's nothing better but the truth. Lord, we ask you, God, we'll continue to share the truth as was taught Jesus' disciples. I'm sure they were standing there watching all this thinking, oh my, what a lesson, what a story this Jesus, this teacher, is teaching us, and he can heal. And we even know in the Old Testament that it was prophesied in Isaiah and other scriptures that the eyes of those would be open and they can see, and there would be miracles through you, Jesus. We just thank you for the miracle in our lives for salvation. Thank you by faith that we can see. And thank you for the encouragement we have for one another and the love. And just pray if there's somebody here who doesn't know this online, they'll come to know you. There are many churches today that don't preach this anymore. And there are some churches that all you hear is a bunch of stuff going on, but you hear very little of the word, very little about the truth, very little about faith and salvation. Well, here we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified and him buried and him rose again. Pray today that you'll come to know Jesus as your Savior before it's too late. We thank you for these things, Heavenly Father. We thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your great salvation, and pray for a blessed week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.